Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, in spite of those poor GDP numbers that were out a little earlier today, South Africa's economy is showing some sign of recovery, and there is good news on the interest rate front. And I guess many of us are wondering now if the retail sector is poised for a turnaround. There certainly was some good news after Black Friday. Retailers, I don't need to tell you, have long faced challenges like those high interest rates, food inflation. But new trends like soaring online sales and expanded offerings into areas like pharmacies, cafes and clothing are creating a degree of opportunity. So let's take a closer look at developments in the sector, what it means for investors. And I'm in conversation now with portfolio manager at Allan Gray, Jethan Pillay. Jethan, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. So maybe let's just start with an overview, if we can. The current competitive landscape in the retail sector, it is intense, is it not?
Good evening, Jeremy. You're quite right. It is extremely intense. You know, I think South African retail has been competitive for a decent amount of time now. I think, you know, firstly, as you've seen, you know, in the early 2000s, initially as retail moved from the informal sector to the formal sector, you know, you had kind of these emergence of these formal sector powerhouses competing amongst each other. But then naturally, as you kind of alluded to in your intro, you know, naturally when the macro environment isn't as strong, you know, that competitive pressure increases because, you know, it isn't a case of a rising tide lifting all boats. If that's not the case, well, then, you know, the way to grow is to take market share from somebody else. And I think particularly in the last few years, you know, when we've been faced with a number of headwinds in South Africa, you've seen that competitive pressure amplify.
I have a very short drive home every night from our studio, and I think last night on the way home, I counted 10 Checkers 6060 delivery vehicles. What do you think the key drivers are, Jethan, behind the recent growth in online grocery sales and the delivery services? Is it purely convenience, or is there more to it, do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon, and it's not just something that's happened in South Africa. You know, it's been a global trend, you know, towards, I guess, what's called quick commerce, but, you know, effectively, you know, on-demand delivery. I think, you know, it was a thing that existed before COVID, but I think the thing that really turbocharged it, you know, was COVID, where you know, people were forced to be at home, and as a result, really adopted, you know, online delivery as a method for getting their groceries. So, you know, to your point, I think it initially, you know, was spurred by a fundamental need, a need for convenience. And, you know, coming out of COVID, you know, that kind of convenience trend continued. So, you know, once people got a taste of how easy it could be to effectively, you know, sit on your couch, you know, open an app, order your groceries and have it delivered to you in an hour, you know, I think people quickly realized, you know, that, or sadly some people realized that actually they'd prefer to do that rather than having to go into store. But, you know, it's not a great thing for retailers if somebody purely just shops online, because, you know, as it stands, grocery retail is actually quite an expensive business to run. You know, if somebody is, you know, if you're all else equal, if a retailer is selling something for 100 Rand, you know, only about 6 or 7 Rand drops to operating profit. So you're trading very, very thin margins. If on top of that, you're now adding, you know, the need to pick the inventory from stores and then to deliver that to the end customer, you can see how this becomes a very expensive undertaking for the retailers.
But there's no doubt the genie is out of the bottle, and unless retailers are starting to play more aggressively in the space, it is going to have an effect on performance and profit, and that is going to have an impact on investor sentiment as far as that particular stock is concerned.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing we've been trying to get our heads around is, you know, incrementality. So, you know, to the extent that online sales are incremental to your existing business that goes through your stores, that's probably okay, you know, because it's a sale that you probably wouldn't have had. You can bank what we would call the gross profit on that inventory that you wouldn't have sold, and you're still maintaining the sales in your physical stores, and the kind of economics of those sales still remain. I think where it becomes a bit more tricky is to the extent that these physical sales are migrating online. because, you know, to your point, so if a retailer was making X number of sales in store, chances are when somebody's walking to the store and they come in for five items, you know, they look around the store and realize, well, you know, maybe I want to buy 10 items. We call that cross shop. That looks very difficult in an online environment where that, you know, that kind of impulse buying, the propensity to impulse buy is lower. So you lose out potentially on some of the sales benefit. We've already talked about the extra costs that are involved. So, you know, I think the way the more successful retailers have done it, they talk about omni-channel. You know, they talk about, you know, a customer shopping both in store and shopping online, and the total basket of that customer, adding all the channels together, are higher than they would have been had that online channel not been there. I think, you know, that's where it works probably the best.
It's also interesting to note the growth into almost the tentacle-driven growth. So you've got Spar, for instance, opening pharmacies. You've got ShopRite expanding into the clothing sector. That is also having an impact on sentiment and shareholder value.
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked earlier about the competitive environment becoming more intense, you know, as a result of the stagnant economy. You know, I think this is another symptom of that, you know, where you see various retailers straying slightly away from their core business into various adjacencies in order to drive footfall to the core business. So, you know, we can look at a good example is Woolworths, you know, with their cafes within their food stores. You know, the cafes themselves are good businesses, but, you know, I think they ultimately hope is that what they ultimately hope is that a cafe customer, you know, sits down, has something to eat, but then goes into the food store, does their grocery shop, and then as they're walking out of that food store, goes through the clothing section and then picks up one or two items. You know, I think that's the ultimate goal of these adjacencies. It's ultimately to drive footfall and ultimately sales, you know, to your kind of core business.
Just finally then, we've seen turnaround strategies from Pick n Pay, from Woolworths, and from Spar. Which of those are you finding particularly noteworthy in terms of growth going forward?
Yeah, so I think, you know, turnarounds, they all have a slightly different turnaround story, and, you know, our clients have exposure to all three that you've mentioned. Probably the most material shareholding for us on behalf of our clients is Woolworths. You know, long-time Woolies shoppers would probably have been somewhat disappointed with the clothing offer. You know, they've got a world-class food business, but the clothing hasn't quite followed the same trajectory. So they're undertaking various steps now to improve the clothing offer, both in terms of product and availability, to hopefully restore, you know, Woolies clothing to what people remember it from back in the day. Pick n Pay is a slightly different story. So Pick n Pay has its challenges in its, you know, in its core kind of grocery business, but then has some very fast-growing businesses that are attached to that. Pick n Pay Clothing as an example, which is a, you know, very fast-growing clothing retailer in South Africa. And probably what's been in the news more recently is Boxer, which is recently listed on the JSE. You know, again, probably one of the fastest-growing grocery retailers in South Africa. Spar likewise has had some challenges in South Africa, specifically with regards to some IT rollout that has impacted its performance to its retailers. You know, likewise taking steps to try and rectify the ship. So, you know, all of them have slightly different turnaround stories. You know, I think if we look at how we position on behalf of our clients, it's certainly towards those retailers that have a turnaround story attached to them. And, you know, if the South African economy, you know, if the hope that we've seen thus far translates into fundamental performance, you know, I think again it'll be a case of a rising tide lifting all boats in terms of all retailers doing well. But, you know, if valuations have gotten slightly ahead of the fundamentals and, you know, there isn't delivery that now follows, you know, I think we've certainly positioned for retailers that we think can do slightly better, you know, even if the economy is slightly weaker than we would have.
And that is a very useful insight into a very important sector as far as South Africa's economy is concerned. Jethan Pillay, thank you very much indeed, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray. We do appreciate your time tonight.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.